Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Have you ever wondered what is the best way to pitch yourself in the medical laboratory? Or have you even thought about what does it mean to pitch yourself? Well, today's eLaborate Topics is just for you because we're going to be covering the do's and don'ts of pitching yourself and how to elevate your career in the medical laboratory. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of eLaborate Topics, where myself, Tywana Wilson, along with my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, will offer you practical strategies that you can use to excel inside and outside of the laboratory. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. This is a weekly podcast where we give you those tips. And if you have missed out on any of our 140 plus episodes to date, you can catch them on Direct Impact Broadcasting or your favorite podcast platform. And when you do go out and listen to a podcast, don't be selfish. Share it out with your network and anybody you feel could benefit from hearing the strategies and tips that we talk about. So let's jump into today's roundtable. Have you thought about pitching yourself in the medical laboratory? So I know for us as technical people, we don't often think of pitching ourselves, but it could be the same language as submitting yourself for opportunities. Self-promotion and pitching yourself is an important aspect of career advancement and growth in our industry, as well as other industries. It allows you to showcase your skills, your experience, and value to others, and making it more likely that you will be considered for new opportunities, awards, and leadership positions. And it's important for you to do that because pitching yourself starts with you. So in order for anyone else to say your name in a room in which you are not in, starts with them being aware of those things in which you are great at. Being able to showcase your skills, what specialized experience do you have? And most importantly, what value can you add to a new team, to a new project, to a new employer? So thinking more about self-promotion and how it plays in your career advancement, it can help you do a few things. It can help you stand out and above the crowd. And the reason for this is because people now know that you are that go-to leader for a certain skill. It could be that you are the go-to cytologist in your area. And knowing that that is a skill, a very unique skill in our laboratory, will often put you above the crowd, especially when looking for those opportunities. Self-promotion can help you build relationships and stronger networks. I know for myself, I've been able to leverage networks and relationships of my co-hosts because they have mentioned my name in rooms that I'm not in. I've been thought about for opportunities to speak or present on medical laboratory topics. And I've also been invited to serve on committees because of some of the relationships that I have had. Self-promotion can help you be informed about opportunities. So when I think about those opportunities, I think, well, are you a candidate for the ASCP or ASCLS 40 under 40? Are you a candidate or thinking about the opportunities for the lab manager awards? Are you a person that should be on the DE&I Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee? There could be some projects that are happening or opportunities in which people know your skills, know your talents, and they feel like you would be an asset for. And self-promotion could also help you advance in your career. Now, I know you're like, self-promotion, that's really not my thing. But here's the big idea behind the self-promotion. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out and be bragging but you do need to be confident in your abilities, right? Self-promotion is important and it is necessary, but there is that balance of being humble and being able to showcase yourself in which you are great at. Believe it or not, you do self-promotion every time you apply for a job, right? Because you have to sell your experience, sell your expertise. You have to sell why you are the best candidate for that opportunity. It allows you to communicate your value proposition. So knowing how to effectively pitch yourself, especially when you're in rooms where you only get a few minutes to be able to pitch yourself as that candidate, then it often allows you to be a more attractive candidate for jobs, awards, leadership positions, and even presenter or speaker opportunities. So thinking about preparing yourself and pitching yourself, write down some of those opportunities in which you can be able to promote yourself. Is there an upcoming conference coming up and you want to submit a proposal to be a speaker? Is there a committee that's coming up that you're thinking, you know, I might be a great fit for that? Today's podcast will give you those do's and don'ts and practical tips to help you feel empowered, help you elevate your career, and also help position you to be able to advance and be that go-to leader for some of these opportunities. Ladies, as we are thinking about today's podcast, what are your thoughts about the self-promotion and knowing as laboratorians, we tend to, and maybe not all, but the majority tend to be introverted and kind of modest, and I'll hold my head down and maybe my good deeds will speak for themselves, and maybe not position ourselves as that leader for the fear of being rejected or not getting the opportunity, or maybe not wanting to feel like we're bragging on ourselves. What are you all's thoughts?
Yeah, Taiwana, this is really interesting because I think generally, even for myself, that becomes very uncomfortable. And I look at so many ways in which we can self-promote just in our regular conversations, just in maybe just putting out a post on LinkedIn and, you know, so people actually know who we are. Sometimes it has to be direct, especially when you're looking for a job. Sometimes it can be indirect, but I think this is a very important topic for a lot of us in the medical lab because we tend to be not very visible. We tend to be more introverted, and it's so important for us to really promote ourselves so people know who we are. People can't guess what you've been doing. And a lot of us, you know, I do the work, they should know. And that's not so. So I think I really, really love this for us as medical lab professionals. And I know that Stephanie has a lot of meat for us, and it's going to really be helpful. And I say for us because I am getting a lot of value from this, just preparing and doing the research and seeing how important it is for us to pitch ourselves.
No, I totally agree. And just like Lona, as I started kind of researching, you know, some tips and some things that could add value to this episode for our listeners, I started to think about myself and how uncomfortable this topic is for me. And I think people would look at the three of us from the outside and say, no way, these ladies are so confident. They're so assured in their gifts and their talents and what they're doing in the laboratory space. But, you know, even for us still, you know, types of conversations like this can be uncomfortable. And I think even for us as professionals with a podcast that we need to promote or want to promote so we can add value to our platform. And despite knowing the importance of what it means to self-promote or to pitch yourself, many of us typically either intentionally or unintentionally don't do this. And I don't even know if it's about being a lab professional or, you know, I can go deeper than that, even being a woman, but I think it's just human nature sometimes to just be on the more humble side of things. And I definitely think it's part of that whole behind the scenes hero stigma that we continuously try to shed, that we are just kind of postured to sit back and wait to be recognized. It's much more comfortable to just work hard and hope somebody recognizes you, or hope somebody sees the value in what you're doing, rather than for you to expose that or to talk about that. So, in this part, I'm going to talk to the listeners about just a few tips on how to prepare to pitch yourself, especially if this is something that you're uncomfortable with. You want to do a couple of preparatory things. And the first thing is, it's important to realize, just like Taiwana said, that pitching yourself or promoting yourself is not about bragging. It's definitely not about being overly confident, but it's actually a leadership skill. It's actually a skill that you can use to help do many things in your space of influence or professionalism or in your career. One, it can help create influence. So when you use self-promotion as a way to enhance your credibility and greater align yourself with whatever your profession or your career is, you demonstrate your leadership, and you also highlight your visibility and your benefits to that profession. And so Taiwana mentioned awards like ASCLS Voices Under 40 and ASCP 40 Under 40. And these are awards that I recently won this past year in 2022. But I think a huge part of that was my ability to, focus in on and hone in on fine-tuning some self-promotion skills for myself. Just like Lona mentioned, polishing your LinkedIn, making sure that you're visible in certain spaces. I think when I submitted my application, and I had applied several times for both awards, I think because I had focused in on making sure that I was visible in certain spaces, social media and otherwise, that allowed me to achieve, winning both as an honoree of both of those. Just like Taiwana said, self-promotion can help build your relationships. And you want to be in a posture where not only can you influence in your space, but you can influence the influential people or the stakeholders or the key people in your field. So once you become a credible leader, you're a person who's spoken at conferences, you're a person who has awards underneath their belt, and a well-known name in your industry, you'll have that influence to be able to gain more access and more influence. Access equals influence in many professional spaces, to start increasing your social capital. We've talked about those things. So all of these things are intertwined. So the second thing that I'm gonna give you a tip for, the first one was making sure that that it's not bragging, you're not being overly confident, you're developing a leadership skill. The second thing is to identify your strengths and skills and your areas of expertise. If you follow Dr. Rodney Rohde, he talks about this a lot, about understanding, where are you a subject matter expert, and then really fine-tuning that. His area of expertise is public health. All three of us have our own individual areas of expertise in terms of laboratory and leadership. So identify, what are your strengths? What are you passionate about, and where can you hone in on? And what is your area of strength? And then try adding some of those elements to your professional resume, to your cover letter. Really beef that up with those elements. I'm going to say, as a caveat here, because this is something I did on the back end, so I'm going to give you a tip up front. As you're doing this, make sure you're building your professional presence. I had to catch up because I wasn't on very much social media when we started this podcast. I didn't have headshots, all of those things. As you prepare to pitch yourself, make sure you're also developing your personal and professional presence. So when these opportunities that you're pitching yourself come, you are prepared. You've got a bio ready. You've got a CV, ready. You've got a couple of different headshots that you feel comfortable with when, those senior editors of all of these magazines come your way, that you can go ahead and submit. So making sure that you're building up a compelling brand, your personal image, and a strong online presence that you feel comfortable with. And, you know, I say that to say what you feel comfortable with. What I felt comfortable with was, you know, making a distinct separation between my personal social media and my professional social media. If you want to encompass all of those in one as part of your brand, you know, just put some thought process into those things so you make sure that you're building your entire brand as you go through pitching yourself. Because once you pitch yourself for all of these things, whether it be awards or jobs or promotions or speaker opportunities, we don't want people asking you now, okay, well, give me a bio, give me a headshot, and you're scrambling. You know, once you're pitching yourself for these things, we got confidence in you, and you have confidence in yourself that these things are going to start coming into fruition. So we also want to have alignment in how we prepare for our opportunities. You know, just like Will Smith, if you stay ready, we don't have to get ready. A few more tips for you. Practice your elevator pitch that showcases the value we bring to the table. This is very important because as you start to get in rooms, and I'll give you a personal example of myself, you know, becoming more known and getting on different committees, you find yourself again in rooms with different influencers in your career. Around people who want to talk to you and who want to know more about you, but they don't have hours to hear, you know, your whole bio and your whole career journey. So practice, you know, a pitch that gives a short, you know, back of the napkin, you know, I don't know if you want to call it elevator or back of the napkin, but it's short introduction of yourself, what you do, what you bring to the table, what are your areas of expertise, what are you passionate about, what do you want to see moving forward, and your contact information, perhaps on a card, have that ready, but just a short way for you to sell yourself. Also, you know, what I like to do, and I think this helped me, have a couple of different conversation starters. You know, once you're around people that are influencers, you want to make sure that you can seem confident that you can hold different conversations in these different spaces so that you start to have these relationships with these stakeholders. So just like Taiwana said, when opportunities arrive, these stakeholders and these influential people know your name. When we're pitching ourselves for jobs, just make sure that you are researching the opportunity, making sure that it's an opportunity that you actually want before you pitch yourself for it. Make sure that you're tailoring the promotion of yourself or whatever you're saying towards that, and definitely highlighting your accomplishments and showcasing what you're passionate about and what you're excited about in terms of that opportunity. And when it comes to written pitches, maybe something you're submitting for a conference, maybe an abstract you're submitting, keep it within the submission guidelines. You know, many times there's a word count, and make sure that you proofread it or have somebody else read it. But those are just a couple of things that I think will help you prepare for whatever you're pitching yourself for. The basic thing is just to be confident about yourself, and then understand that the more access that you have, the more influence that you have, the more visibility we'll have. And we all talk about how Laboratorians need to be more visible. But visibility in our profession starts with you. How can you, in your own individual space, whether you work at a rural hospital or you work at an academic hospital, or if you're working in a subspecialty area, molecular biology, how can you individually in your own space create more visibility? And the more each one of us individually is more visible, the more visibility we have for our entire laboratory community. What do you ladies think?
Yeah, I thought that was great, Stephanie. I thought you gave a lot of good content and good how-to behind that. One of the things that it made me think about when you said, you know, getting ready to pitch yourself for different opportunities, whether it was the ASCP or the ASCLS 40 under 40 programs, was that one, you pitched yourself multiple times. But I guess what it made me think about too, and I'm not sure if you did this or not, but asking people to help you. So if there are awards or projects or committees that you are wanting to be on or interested in being on, actually asking for help. So I know for me personally, being able to be on different committees, I was able to one, either have somebody recommend me for those, or if it was a committee or award or something that I wanted to be a part of, I'd ask somebody, can you submit a nomination on my behalf? So sometimes as laboratorians, we don't often think about asking somebody to pitch us for a program. So I know in, I think it was 2011, I was a 40 under 40 business courier for Cincinnati awardee. And it's a prestigious award. It is difficult to get. And so I asked somebody to submit my nomination on my behalf, right? It doesn't mean that I was going to get selected or not, but I think it was more impactful of me asking a previous award winner to submit my application versus me submitting it for myself in that instance. So this is where doing your research is important. But there have been other awards or programs that I've totally pitched myself for and submitted on my behalf or recommended my own self. So I just wanted to, as you were talking, it made me think about that and wanting to let the listeners know that sometimes you have to be your own nominator, or you have to not be afraid to ask someone to submit on your behalf. So I thought you gave a lot of great information, but that was just something that it made me think about as you were talking.
Yeah, Stephanie, I think you made some great points, and I love that expansion from Taiwana. And I think sometimes we are uncomfortable doing that, and that is very, very impactful when there's somebody vouching for you in the background, when there's somebody at the table saying, I know Lona, I know Taiwan, I know they're doing this. But for me, what really I can relate to in terms of is what I would probably call branding based on the way you describe it, being out there on social media and showing your expertise there. But what to me is more like a major expansion is behind the scene addition to what you're doing. And I am going to talk about timing for your pitch. And when I think about timing, for me, I'm thinking about when do you really pitch? And I would say you're pitching, other than the formal pitch, you're pitching all the time based on what Stephanie said. You're basically pitching all the time because you're getting either your team to know you better, you're getting others to know you better, you're getting your boss to know you better, and you're getting the outside world when it comes to social media. Stephanie said something about being prepared and being prepared with that elevator pitch. And a lot of times you're just having conversation with a coworker, and it's something that you have done that you may be able to project yourself. This is what I'm interested in. For me right now, I'm more focused on coaching and consulting. And so it's so important for me to have my elevator pitch. It may not be in a conversation. It may just be on social media. I help lab leaders in high professional roles or high profile role who are overwhelmed find fulfillment and confidence while creating the impact they want for themselves and their teams. And I know a lot of lab leaders want to create the impact, but it's very overwhelming. How do they do that? I help them find that fulfillment and that confidence to do that. So for me, when I coach lab leaders or even I coach people to move into next level roles, the first thing I do, I help them to know themselves. Because you cannot pitch yourself. You cannot pitch yourself for a job. You can't pitch yourself for a speech if you don't really know who you are. Like Stephanie said, first of all, know what your expertise is. Do your research and prepare what it is that you either want in that role or what is it that you want to speak on. So Knowing yourself could mean just knowing the role that you want. And I help people knowing their role, know their whys, know what their core values are. And what I do with knowing your core values is being able to put a statement on it. So if I'm having a conversation, I can actually just put a statement on my core values without saying that's my core values. So someone will know the things that that's important to me. Know your non-negotiables when it comes to a role, or even accepting a speech at a conference, you need to know ahead your non-negotiables. Know ahead of time, like individuals that you want to connect with, or companies or associations that you want to connect with. So knowing yourself is important before, and then knowing your industry. So if you're going to think of proper timing, you have to either know your organization, know your industry. What are the trends right now? What are their needs? What are they looking for? What are some of the things that I could do with my unique strengths? Just because I know my core role and I know my unique strengths, I know the things that I'm curious about, I know the things that I want to participate in. How can I use that to help my industry? So knowing that will help you with timing. What are the trends right now? What are their needs right now? What's changing right now in the lab? So there's a lot of conversation on retention. There's a lot of conversation on just recruiting. There's a lot of conversation on taking care of your team. There's a lot of conversation on stress. So what is it? Being connected with your industry, being connecting with your organization, you can know based on your expertise, how can you help? So if there's a lot of conversation, say on retention, then you probably know that, okay, at a conference, maybe they will be looking for someone to talk about that. And is that your expertise? Another thing is when you know your organization and your industry and their trends, you follow. So like Stephanie was talking about 40 under 40 awards. When would that be coming out? Who should you be contacting? Who should you be talking to get your applications in? When it comes to different conferences, if you're actually keeping up on trends, you know when these conferences come around. However, that's not enough to just know. There are certain things that you need to do in order to have the right timing for your pitch. And I know that I said it depends. You should be doing it all the time through conversations, through connections on LinkedIn, through blog posts, through LinkedIn posts, because when you do that, people know what you're passionate about. People know what your expertise are. For me, people reach out to me. It doesn't have to be like that, but that's how it happened for me. For some people, like Taiwana say, you may have to reach out to people. You may have to reach out to others on the team. Who are the people on the committee for selection? Who are somebody who have already gotten the 40 under 40 and find out what they did? For some people, it could be just branding yourself, being out there and talking on a particular topic. Stephanie spoke about Dr. Rohde speaking on certain topics. If they know that that's your expertise, people will reach out to you. However, pitching is going to become very important. So say you want to pitch for a conference. It's important to engage before the pitch. So engaging before the pitch. First, you know what you want to speak about. Then you're going to figure out what it is that the needs are. Remember, we talk about industry trends and needs. So you're engaging on LinkedIn or other social media. You know what people are talking about. You know what the trends are. You're probably going to other conferences and you're hearing what people are talking about. Another way then is using that opportunity to engage with the people on social media. So that's engaging before the formal pitch. So you engage with people who are either part of that association, you get to know them personally, you get to know the things that they're posting about, you respond to their posts, you provide value. They may ask for things that they may need, and you may have expertise in that area, so you provide value that way. So now you're actually preparing yourself so you're known. So whenever an opportunity comes, you're already engaging with people who are maybe the conference organizers. So there are times when you can actually look up and find out based on LinkedIn profile who are the organizers. So once you're engaging with them, there are certain things that you can do. Find out when it's time for proposal. What time it is that they need to submit something for proposal. But once you're going to reach out to them, make sure you're providing them with help. Make sure that you are prepared. Like Stephanie said, your branding, it's actually showing your expertise, maybe in your blog posts, maybe from testimonials where you're speaking. But when you reach out to them for help, first you give them help, and then you could ask for, you know, about, you know, what time it is that there's a formal application process. Once you find that out, make sure that you're following all the details and you're making your submission for that ahead of time. So, like I say, you're engaging ahead of time when it comes to timing, you're finding out what the trends are, and then you're finding out deadline for the whole application process so you can submit that ahead of time. In terms of maybe job opportunities, yes, you're engaging ahead of time the same way you're engaging in your, you may present a good timing is like after a project that you complete that's very successful, you may present the project. You may want to talk on a certain subject. So you're priming you're priming everyone. However, if you're going to do a formal pitch, it's good to, there are certain times that's really good, maybe after a performance review, or maybe after you have completed a big project and you have actually done great accomplishment, or after a milestone, like maybe you just received certification and your boss is aware of it, you just got your PMP, or just doing a launch. Say your lab is gonna start a whole new total lab automation, and they need support. That's a good timing also. But make sure that your supervisor is usually in a receptive mode. So timing is very important. Just after an event, just after a performance review, just after a major project, when there's a need, after a milestone or a certification, and then set up a meeting. Set up a meeting with your boss so you have a scheduled time, and then you sit down with them, and then based on what you know as the overview, we're getting ready to start this total automation system. You know that I just got my certification in project management. I've worked on these projects for the lab, and this is the impact that it has. I've been able to save a lot of time on this, or save money on this. And I know that with my certification, I really would be great in helping with this total automation. But use impactful statement, like the things that you've done, what the impact it has had, and make sure your timing is right before the pitch. So that's basically it when it comes to timing, knowing the industry trends, knowing the needs, and make sure you're aligning your expertise with the needs of either the conference or the needs of your organization, and then you pitch. Another thing I want to talk about is what if you don't pitch? And you know, like a lot of people, like they should know what I do. I've done all this for it. But if you don't pitch, you find that other people are getting promotions that you miss out of. And it's very frustrating. Yeah, when you're thinking that people would know what you have always done and you did not sit down in a formal meeting and show the value and how you can help and pitch that, then you're missing a lot of opportunities. When you don't pitch, people really don't know who you are, don't know what value you can bring to your organization. And because of that, you don't grow professionally. And so you're reducing a lot of either income potential or impact potential. And I know a lot of us want to make that impact. So that was a mouthful. And ladies, I know there's a lot more that we probably could talk about. Is there anything else I know that we could add to that in terms of timing and missed opportunities?
No, I think you did a great job, like you, I'm going to use your word, expanding on the right time to pitch yourself. What happens if you don't? But then what happens if you do and you don't get it? You know, we've already gone over that. You could always try again. There's always another opportunity out there. I think the only thing that I would add, and this is just kind of, again, reiterating what I already built off of, you know, submitting things and not getting it. I think, you know, there's always, you know, a sense of gratitude and respect for yourself when you go for something. And no matter the outcome, you know, whether you get it or not, at least you know you tried. And at some point you submit yourself, you pitch yourself, and then you've done all you can do at that point, right? The hands are in whatever decision makers that there are, whether this is a conference, whether this is a job, whether this is a committee. But at least you know you've put yourself out there. At the end of the day, you can learn to refine, fine tune, and get better at the pitch, get better at how you promote yourself. And, you know, eventually in time, you might get it the next time. But I would say don't stop trying. Don't let any level of denial or any level of what you might think is rejection stop you, because sometimes things happen in their own time. So, you know, use these skills, continue to try, continue to promote, and really in the back of your head, have confidence to know that the things that I'm supposed to work on will come my way and I will be working on them if I continue to do this. So don't get discouraged. That's easy for us to do too.
Yeah, I thought those were great, Lona and Stephanie, for that the additional add-on. The only thing that I'll kind of add to that is I love when Lona said you should be constantly pitching yourself, right? Because people don't know, you know, what your interests are. It made me think about when people want to get promoted, but they never let anybody know. So, you know, constantly pitching yourself, not in a way where is it getting on anybody's nerve, but being able to let people know what your interests are, because don't assume people know. As we know, people's attention span today is short and everybody is over consumed with what they are consumed with. So it may not be understanding and knowing everything that is of importance to you. It also made me think about two previous podcasts that we did before. So this is something, we'll put it in the show notes, but this is something to help you jumpstart this idea in action of pitching yourself. And both of them were from season one. So the first episode was episode 43, How to Increase Your Professional Visibility with Donna Marquez. I think is how her last name is pronounced. But she gave a great interview on increasing your professional visibility. And the other episode that came to my mind was episode 56, How to Be a Masterful Communicator. So with Kiana Cressman. So Lona talked about increasing your influence and impact. And Kiana done a great job of walking us through actionable tips of how we could exactly do that being a better communicator, being able to increase our influence, and being able to increase our impact, which in turn help with your professional visibility. So I think those were two great podcasts. If you haven't listened to them, to go back to help you with this idea of pitching, not being afraid. As Stephanie said, if things don't work out the first time, it's perfectly okay. Keep pitching yourself again and again. Fine tune your pitch, and then you never know, the next time may be that time. You know, the thing that happens if you don't pitch yourself is the answer is always no. So if you don't pitch yourself, you don't tell people what you're interested in, you will miss 100% of those shots, right? Because you didn't put yourself out there. And so I think Lona did a great job of walking us through when to pitch, and also letting us know if what happens if we don't pitch. So now that you know, pitching yourself really should be a non-negotiable, because you are your very best advocate. And so those were the things that it made me think about as you all were talking.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, Taiwana. And thank you for bringing this to the lab community. I benefited a lot from this. And guys, take away at least one thing and start. If it means that you're going to just go ahead, first of all, and just start by saying, what is my expertise? What is it that I'd want to be known for, either through speaking or through promotion? But start somewhere, and then you can start adding to, you know, your social media branding and putting yourself out there and preparing your pitch. So, but start somewhere. I think this was beneficial. So thank you so much for listening. And get your other friends to listen, get other medical lab professionals to listen, share this podcast episode out. I know a lot of us will benefit. I'm benefiting. You all will benefit. So thank you so much. So listen to all the other episodes on directimpactbroadcasting.com or any of your podcast platform. Go ahead and listen. And we also are on LabVine, and another announcement for LabVine, we've been collaborating with LabVine. LabVine has a great conference coming up, Laboratory Management Seasonal School. That's going to be March 29 to 31st, and we, Elaborate Topics host, will be speaking on March 30th on succession planning, creating a roadmap for leadership success. So join us, just get on LabVine website and register for the conference. And you can also connect with us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn. We have groups there, and you can email us if you want to speak on a certain topic, or you're a guest. We have guest forms that you can fill out to be a guest on the show. So thank you so much for listening. And we'll be putting out an episode as usual. We're almost 3 years every Tuesday. So thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.